Adaptive sports organizations serve thousands of aspiring disabled athletes, including skiers. The end game for some may be the simple joy of cool wind in the face. For others, it might be experiencing life independently on the steep pitches of a double black diamond run. Jason Albert has our story from the slopes of Mount Bachelor near Bend, Oregon.
7-year-old Emmy Pancook rolls her wheelchair into a snow-white world. She passes bustling skiers hurrying inside for warmth. Where cement turns to snow, Emmy locks her wheels. She momentarily sticks her tongue out to catch snowflakes. Among the stacks of skis rest her blue sit ski.
All right, Emmy, ready? You want me to wheel you over there? You want to get in yourself?
That's Melody Buell. She's a former Division I Alpine ski racer with St. Lawrence University and is now Emmy's snow sports mentor. Because Emmy has spina bifida, she has no use of her legs. With a forceful grunt, she lifts her body from her wheelchair and slides into the sit ski's bucket. The bucket is a slightly reclined seat fixed atop a shock absorber and two skis. Buell calls out commands, ensuring Emmy has upper body mobility.
Okay, let's get dive bomb arms, unicorn wings. Good?
Yeah.
Okay, ready for departure?
Yes. Yeah.
For many adaptive skiers, this is not an individual sport. Today, Emmy's team consists of Buell and volunteer guide Sarah Romish. Buell gains momentum and pushes Emmy through a maze of skiers to the chairlift. Romish pumps a lever, gradually increasing the height of Emmy's bucket. This makes it easier to lift and load Emmy onto the chairlift.
1, 2, 3. Awesome!
All right, have fun, y'all!
They head up into a stormy sky that looks like it's been shaken from a snow globe. Emmy says she's been learning to sit ski since 4, and that Buell's been coaching her since day 1. Emmy tells Romish that she's no novice.
And I've been on a black diamond run.
Was it scary?
The first time.
Once she's on the slope, it's clear that Emmy's not into tame, snowplow-type skiing. She's ripping, arcing calculated bold turns, slaloming tightly around trees. Buell helps control the sit ski by grasping a bar positioned behind Emmy's head. Romish lags behind. In a hunter orange vest, she's there to caution other skiers. For the next 5 years or so, Buell will teach Emmy how to lean her body, use her core. The ultimate goal, foster a lifelong love of skiing. Emmy skis with Oregon Adaptive Sports, or OAS, a local nonprofit focused on providing affordable and life-changing experiences for the disabled. Here's Emmy's mom, Jill.
She wouldn't be doing it without OAS because neither her dad nor I ski well at all. So we watch from the bottom of the mountain while, you know, Mel can take her up to the top and bring her back down again safely.
It's clear what OAS and skiing affords Emmy.
Independence for her. We're big on that in our family. And it gives her the ability to, you know, do something comparable to her peers. And oftentimes it gives her something she can do better than her peers. And that's hard to come by when you're a wheelchair user.
Melody Buell says Emmy is just like other emerging athletes on the ski hill. But Buell knows adaptive skiers often work harder than their able-bodied peers.
The determination to succeed is absolutely essential, especially working with people who have disabilities. You sometimes have to have a much higher level of drive than your peers.
Emmy aspires to be a Paralympian. Yet for many adaptive athletes, simply getting on the slopes is difficult. But according to Christine Brousseau, the head of Oregon Adaptive Sports, the benefits stay with them.
There's a really strong correlation that shows that those with disability who are physically active are more likely to lead a healthier lifestyle, they're more sociable.
Brousseau also says the disabled who engage in physical activity are more employable. Across the country, there's been increased demand for adaptive sports programs. Locally, since 2008, the number of skier days OAS provides has tripled. But skiing doesn't come cheap. OAS offers scholarship funds to 50% of their participants.
So a lot of these folks, due to medical costs and prescription costs and doctor visits, are financially struggling. And so they don't have the opportunities to necessarily pay for these lessons because the poverty, obesity, disability correlation is so strong.
Sports may soon help mitigate these disparities for disabled youth. In late January,
the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights interpreted Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 this way. School districts using federal dollars to support their athletic programs must provide students with disabilities an equal opportunity to participate in extracurricular activities. School districts wouldn't be required to admit disabled athletes on all teams, but they should afford disabled students a similar athletic experience. This could be groundbreaking for many disabled youth. The adaptive ski program at Mount Bachelor began in 1996, shortly after a local school's annual ski day. A forward-thinking ski patroller observed the disabled students were left lodge-bound. Gabe Rousseau is one of those kids who ultimately benefited. Now Rousseau is a 26-year-old graduate student whose expressions are 100% thriving ski bum.
Every day dealing with muscular dystrophy like I do, gravity is a real adversary of mine. But when I'm skiing, it's a reversal of that relationship. Gravity is all of a sudden my friend, and it's doing everything for me. And I'm just kind of along for the ride.
One like-minded sit skier exploiting this gift of gravity is 46-year-old Kevin McCormack. He's a burly transport logistics manager. On this blue sky day, his sleek mirrored goggles cannot mask a wide, this is exactly where I want to be smile. He's skiing with his buddy, Brian Jarvis.
He loves to go fast. And when you're skiing behind him, sometimes it's like skiing behind a water skier, because he throws up these huge wakes. And on a day like today when the sun's shining, it's a beautiful thing to watch.
McCormack, paralyzed in a freak skiing accident 10 years ago, now rides the mountain on a mono sit ski. He accelerates, and as he tips downhill, his shoulders run inches above the slope. A backlit snow plume traces his wide arcs. Turn after turn, it's like this for nearly 1,000 feet.
I mean, you know the feeling when you're making a great turn. It's like, oh, that was a good one. It's just like, there it is, just like you would. I mean, I wasn't going to not work and provide for my family anymore. I wasn't going to not ski anymore. I wasn't, you know, all the things that I love to do, I was still going to do, period. It's different. We all have things that we need to adapt to. Mine is just very obvious.
For Only a Game, I'm Jason Albert.
To see Jason Albert's adaptive skiing photos, please visit our website, onlyagame.org. Only a Game is produced by Karen Given and Doug Trabu. Our technical director is John Perotti. Our intern is Martin Kessler. We had help this week from Dave DeWitt, Bobby O'Brien, Yolanda Perdomo, Quinn Kleinfelter, and Kim Green. Our senior producer is Gary Wallach. Our final word this week comes from Battle Creek Bombers general manager Brian Colopy, who marvels at the longevity of the Twinkie.
They last, I think, 100 years. I don't know when they expire, so I think we're good.
So you just get an abandoned warehouse out there in Battle Creek, and if the creek don't rise, it's Twinkie dogs for a century. I'm Bill Littlefield. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
Support comes from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live healthy, productive lives at gatesfoundation.org. The SCAN Foundation, committed to aging with dignity and independence at thescanfoundation.org. And the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture. Poetryfoundation.org. This is NPR.